Marijuana legalization in Washington was sold to voters as a way to take money away from criminals and generate tax revenue for the state. This was one of the TV ads for Initiative 502 back in 2012.
We could tax it to fund schools and healthcare, free up police to go after violent crime instead.
But will the end of pot prohibition really mean the end of the black market? A man who's about to go to federal prison for growing and trafficking marijuana says it wouldn't have put him out of business. Correspondent Austin Jenkins has his story.
I'm standing with Scott Johnson, looking up at Bellingham's tallest building, the Bellingham Towers.
Opened May 9th, 1930. Tallest building north of Seattle, still today. Sorry. There you go, I'm selling.
Johnson is one of those natural-born salesmen. He used to own a restaurant on the 15th floor of this building.
What was the name of the restaurant?
At first, it was called Top of the Towers.
And now, Johnson comes to Bellingham Towers to see his lawyer, whose office is also here. You see, Johnson's been sentenced to 5 years in federal prison for his role in a long-running marijuana production and distribution ring. Sitting in his lawyer's office, Johnson says before the Fed swept in, it was a lucrative line of business.
Were you part of the 1%?
I was part of the 1%.
There was a Lamborghini, a boat named Liquid Assets, jet skis, trips to Hawaii. Johnson ran a couple of grow operations. His business partners had a couple more. He would ship the marijuana, 70 to 80 pounds at a time, across the country.
It was packaged very well, placed into a mortar home, driven close to New York City, and then it was transferred and delivered otherwise.
Johnson would fly to New York and supervise the transaction.
Yeah, put on a smiling face, put the suit and tie on, and go to work.
Literally the suit and tie?
Literally the suit and tie.
Johnson says in a good year, he could make upwards of $1 million. His profit margin was 65%. Since he couldn't pay taxes, he gave to charity. He kept his wife and twin daughters in the dark. And then the feds came calling.
Did you sort of assume in the back of your mind that this day would come?
I never believed that I'd see the feds sniffing around.
The feds put Johnson out of business. But what if they hadn't caught wind of his operation? Would pot legalization in Washington have got him instead?
Legalization wouldn't have put me out of business. It's not going to put anyone that's been doing this for a while out of business.
For the record, Johnson says he planned to become a licensed pot grower under Initiative 502.
I don't like lying to my family. I don't like, cheating the government.
But if he couldn't get a license for some reason?
Definitely wouldn't have folded. I mean, I would have attempted to get the license. If that didn't work, I would have just continued on the mission.
And you think you still would have had a customer base and a business model that worked?
Very much so.
Johnson says he already weathered one storm in the pot business, medical marijuana. It drove down the price so much, that's when he started moving product to New York. He says to survive legalization, he might have had to expand his distribution to other states.
He can certainly grow pot in Bellingham and send it to Oregon or Chicago or New York.
That's UCLA's Mark Kleiman. He was Washington's marijuana consultant. He also co-authored the book on marijuana legalization, literally. But Kleiman does not believe illegal growers in Washington will continue to have a homegrown customer base.
How many moonshiners are there in Washington? How many illicit tobacco growers are there in Washington? Very hard for an illicit market to compete with an illicit market. It's just much cheaper to pay your taxes and do stuff above board.
But Scott Johnson isn't convinced that the new pot stores will immediately replace long-standing customer-dealer relationships.
I think that the majority of people are going to be getting it from their buddy that they've been getting it from for decades.
To test that theory, I went to Sylvester Park in downtown Olympia to conduct an informal survey. There I found 20-year-old Chris Baldwin and his friend Madison, who would not give her last name.
Because I have some legal problems.
They were sitting in the sun eating Triscuits, pepperoni sticks, and fruit leather. Both admitted to regularly smoking pot.
Have you guys used today?
Yeah, that would probably explain the food eating. Yeah.
You're high right now.
Yeah, I'm currently
somewhat.
A little baked.
A little baked.
Yeah.
I asked Chris and Madison if they plan to start buying their pot at the licensed stores when they open in Washington.
I think I might stick with my dealer.
Both are skeptical they'll get the quality and variety of marijuana they're accustomed to. And Madison doesn't want to be videotaped going into a marijuana retail store.
There's really no telling how they're going to be classifying people who buy it.
I asked them how much they pay now for pot.
Street prices on a gram would be like $10. Normally.
So what happens, I ask, if the price in the stores gets down to $3 a gram? That's the price Mark Kleiman predicts within 3 years. That sparks a debate.
Then all illegal grow-ups will go out of business. That's an absolute... I can guarantee that. those kind of prices
only
are unmatched.
It's the same quality. Only if it's the same quality because or no one's going to... I'm not going to spend even $50 on a bunch of weed that's only going to get me and my friend high for a day. $50?
As for Scott Johnson, he's scheduled to check into federal prison in June. The date was delayed so he could watch his twin daughters graduate from high school. So when he gets out of prison, does he have any plans to get back into the pot trade?
As far as the black market, absolutely not.
Johnson says he would consider participating in the legal trade, but as a convicted felon, he's unlikely to get a license from the state. I'm Austin Jenkins reporting.